For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Welcome to our class on Yom Kippur. Open up with a joke. If you heard it, laugh anyways. It's polite. I know you never thought you would see a Yom Kippur class open up with a joke, but there's a reason for it. It has a lot to do with the Yom Kippur. Three guys having lunch on a scaffold, you know, skyscraper thing, right? About 40 floors up in the air, right? Okay. First guy opens up his lunch pail, takes out, sees the sandwich, he goes, "Cheese sandwich, again? Oh, no. If I get another cheese sandwich tomorrow, I'm jumping." Second guy opens up his lunch, "Cheese sandwich again? If I get a cheese sandwich tomorrow, I'm jumping." Third guy, same story, "Cheese sandwich again?" Next day, three of them up there, lunch, right, 40 stories up. First guy opens up, tuna fish. Say good. Second guy opens up, egg sandwich. Yeah. Third guy, "Cheese sandwich again? That's it, I've had it." And he jumps. First guy looks at the second guy and goes, "I don't believe it. Isn't that kind of drastic? I mean, I know you and I said it, but, you know, we were just joking." Second guy goes, "Yeah, especially since he makes his own sandwiches." Now, the thing here is that we make, I'll tell you why it's an important story, because we make our own cheese sandwiches, we make our own problems, and then we jump. And that has a lot to do with Yom Kippur, because Yom Kippur is a washing, a cleansing, a time to start all over. But we have to make a point of facing ourselves. I'll explain. We have to admit what we've got ourselves into, the mess that we've got ourselves, the cheese sandwich that we made. We have to admit that, right? And that's what a lot of this class is going to be about. Admitting our faults, our mistakes, so we can start all over again. Now, the truth is, a lot of this year, by the way, will be from Rabbi Fran, from Rabbi Grossman, and probably a bunch of other rabbis. Okay. But on this note, let me explain the following here to you. You have constantly, throughout Yom Kippur, I guess the major theme of Yom Kippur, as you're going to see, is going to be what? Vidui. Confession. That's the main thing, confession of sins. Now that in itself, Rav Hirsch says, is an interesting insight, because, you know, the whole idea of confessing your sins before God is in itself kind of strange, because God doesn't need it. I mean, He knows what we've done and what we haven't done. Right? So, Rav Hirsch says, the confession of sins is really an admission to yourself. You're admitting that you've sinned. You're coming face to face with the reality of your mistakes. You're personally confronting your own ego. Okay? And if a person doesn't do that, he can never improve. That's the main theme of Yom Kippur. Right? Confronting yourself. Right? In a sense, Yom Kippur is, if you will, well, on Yom Kippur, we're all going to say Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem, Dove Bear. How have you been? How have you been this year? It's a look in the mirror. That's what it is. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. Each and every one of us is going to have a nice visit with ourselves. Yeah, we're going to look at ourselves in the mirror, we're going to figure out how we've been this year, what we've been doing. And that confession, that vidui, is a major part of it. A confession of saying, who am I, where am I, what have I done? And partially saying, it's my fault. I made the cheese sandwich. We live in a society that's been trained to say, it's not my fault. know, that's it. Everything is my upbringing's fault, my teachers, I was mistreated, I was abused, it's society's fault, it's my spouse's fault, but nothing is anyone's fault. It's always somebody else. It's never my fault. That's the society we live in. And that is the single biggest obstacle to tshuva. Because tshuva in itself, the word means to return to yourself, the real you. And what have we done? We have thrown mud upon ourselves and veneer and covers and layers of all sorts of excuses. And if you can't admit that you're wrong and you can't admit and face your problems, then you can't do tshuva. You can't return to yourself because you don't want to face yourself. You don't want to look in the mirror. And the Torah teaches us just the opposite of what present-day psychology does, as usual. And that is that man is great enough that he can change. A person can say, it's my fault, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed me with enough greatness not to cop out, to admit that I'm wrong, to deal with it, to change. No excuses. It's up to me. There's a Gemara that talks about a guy, Eliezer ben Dordaya. You want to know who Eliezer ben Dordaya was? This was a chevra man of mine. Yeah, this guy had visited... I better explain that. I better erase that. I didn't mean that the way it sounded, because I'm going to tell you what this guy did. He went around visiting every harlot there was. Okay? That's a true story of the Gemara. And he once found a well-known prostitute, whatever it was, and traveled a long distance to see her. And in the midst of settling the amount of money and getting on with business, if you will, she said to him, after an incident there, she said to him, just like this will never return, so too you will never return. You cannot do tshuva. This came from her mouth. That was Hashem's agency to wake him up. What was his reaction? Well, he got so shook to his very foundation when he heard this coming from her mouth, where how low he has sunk and where he's holding, that he immediately left and went amongst the hills, and he started crying and crying. And he started crying for the mountains. Gemara says he cried for the mountains to pray for him, to ask mercy on his behalf. And the mountain says, we can't. We've got our own problems. And he asked the hills to pray for his behalf. All metaphorical, as we're going to see. And what goes on, he asked the moon to pray for him, the sun, right, and the mazolos, the stars, right? They asked them all to help him. What does this mean? Says the Reish Rav, that the mountains and the hills, that's a metaphor for a father and a mother. What Eliezer ben Dordaya was saying, you know, it's not my fault. It's my parents' fault. It's the upbringing I had. And they told him, we can't help you. You're on your own. And then he said, you know what? It's the sun, the moon, the stars. It's the environment's fault. It's not my fault. And they told him, can't help you. So what did he do? He said, Ein adavar tulu elabi. I see it's only up to me. And it says, he put his head between his knees, and he cried, and he cried, and he did a tshuva, and his soul left his body. Right? His soul left his body. And it says, Yatza basko, a voice came out from heaven and said, Rabbi Eliezer ben Dordaya, mezuman l'chaya ulam haba. That Rabbi Eliezer ben Dordaya is ready for the next world. He's getting a share in Olam Haba. He's called Rabbi. He's called a Rav. You hear this? That's the lesson. The lesson, no matter who you are and where you're holding, you don't make excuses. It's your life. It's not your parents. I don't care what kind of upbringing you've had. I don't care the environment you lived in. That's more of a challenge. That's more of a test. Okay, fine. That's your particular challenge in life. But it's your responsibility, and you can change. Enough excuses. That's the lesson of Rabbi Eliezer ben Dordaya. That you can change. You can admit it. You can say you're wrong. Say you're sorry. And start again. That's tshuva. That's Yom Kippur. That's what Yom Kippur is. Your past year, what you've done, it doesn't matter. Start over. Admit it. Say, I'm wrong. Say, I'm wrong. Quit using excuses. Face yourself. Shalom Aleichem. This is me. I don't want to be like this. I want to change. There's Gemara in the Dorim talks about the end of days. You know what's going to happen at the end of days? Ein Gehenim Lasi Lavo. Ein Gehenim Leilam Haba. There's no Gehenim. There's no Gehenim in the future, what we call hell. Ela, rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moitzi Chame Mentarika V'tzadikim Misrapim Ba V'rashoim Nedunim Ba. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the sun out of its sheath, and tzadikim are going to bask in it. They're going to be healed by this light, and the wicked are going to be judged by it. That's the Gemara. What does it mean? Rav Zev Lef, Eretz Yisrael says the following. You know what the sun is in the future? The pure light of the sun, that's the unadulterated truth. The unfiltered life, light of truth. One day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to shed light on our lives. The light of truth. And when that happens, there's going to be no more excuses. There's going to be no more rationalizations. And there's going to be no place to hide. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen is the following. That if you're a Rasha, if your life has been full of lies, you're going to have to face yourself. And that's what's going to judge you. The truth. You can't hide from the truth. And if you're a tzaddik, you're going to bask in that light. That's Gehenim. And that's Gan Eden. That light of the truth is Gehenim and Gan Eden. Facing the truth. If your life has been meaningful and consistent, if you lived a consistent light, then that light's going to be beautiful. It's going to heal you. But if your life has been full of lies, lying to yourself, well, you're not going to be able to escape it. You're not going to be able to escape the truth this time. You're not going to be able to give rationalizations and excuses out of this. You're going to have to face yourself. Shalom Aleichem. And that's what the Yom HaDin is all about. That's what the day of ultimate judgment is all about. That's it. That's all. Very simple. Realizing, suddenly, having to face the truth, right smack in front of you. And that can be a very painful and overwhelming experience. And Yom Kippur is a microcosm of that ultimate day of judgment. First thing, the slichas, you know? Slichas that we've been saying all this time. You know what the slichas of the Kotzke Rebbe was? Here's the slichas of the Kotzke Rebbe. Lacha Hashem HaTzedakah. HaGetavach. That was it. To you, Hashem, is righteousness. Everybody have a good week. That was it. That was his whole slichas. What does it mean? The first thing you gotta do is acknowledge that the judgment of Hashem, what's happened to you in your life, in the past year, the afflictions, the source, whatever it is, you have to have no complaints on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to acknowledge what happened to me I deserve. You're right. I acknowledge your judgment. That's the first step to tshuva. That everything that's happened to us is our fault. It's because our sins. And you, Hashem, are the tzaddik. I don't want to hear this. How can Hashem let it happen? How can you let it happen? So that's one aspect of Yom Kippur, and I'm painting a pretty bleak picture. But there's another aspect of Yom Kippur, at least one more aspect. Yom Kippur is a day of tshuva. It's a day of looking at yourself. It's a day to shut yourself up where you're holding in life. It's also the happiest day of the year. Yeah. We think Yom Kippur is a sad day, you know, because there's only 2 days in the year where you fast from evening to evening, 26-hour fast, right? Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So we equate them. You know, both days, we kind of afflict ourselves. We don't have any food. We don't have any drink, right? Don't bathe, so forth and so on. But really, that's not the case. Tisha B'Av Avada is a day of affliction. It's a day of sad day. It's a day that the temple is destroyed. But Yom Kippur is the happiest day of the year. It's a day you're being cleansed. And as a matter of fact, some of the great Rebbeim used to say about these 2 days, who can eat on Tisha B'Av and who wants to eat on Yom Kippur? A person should be so malat tsar, so full of sorrow over the destruction of the temple, that how can he eat? How can he eat on Tisha B'Av? And on Yom Kippur, who wants to eat? Who wants to waste that precious time where every moment your loving Father is cleaning you up? Amar Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara in Yuma, Ashreichem Yisrael, happy are you Israel, Mi Mitar Eschem, who purifies and cleans you up? Avichem Shebashamayim, your Father in heaven. Like a father who cleans up his child, who soiled himself. That's the spirit of the day of Yom Kippur. A father knocking at the door, willing to clean us up, if we'll just open the door. As a matter of fact, Rav Simcha Zissel of Kelm used to call these days not Yamin Noraim, awesome days, days of awe. He used to call them Yamin Nechmadim, sweet days. As a matter of fact, the Gemara, Chazal, tell us that Yom Kippur is not only the happiest day of the year for us. That's what it says in Baba Basra. Lo haya yamin tovim Yisrael ki Yom Kippur. There was never as good a day for all of Israel, a day of such simcha as Yom Kippur. Why? Sheyom sheyesh bo slicho mechila. That's a day of complete forgiveness of Hashem. There's no bigger simcha than that. Oh, you've heard me say there's no bigger simcha than having the Torah before, haven't you? The Gemara goes on. Ve'yom shenisna bo haluchos. And it's the day we got the second tablets. We'll talk about that. Not only, though, is this the happiest day for us, but Chazal tell us it's the happiest day for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the happiest day for Him. He gets to see his children cleaned up. He gets to see his children start over again. They're pure again. You see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. He invented a day, a day of pure loving kindness, just to clean us up. So those are the dual aspects of Yom Kippur. On one hand, tshuva, face yourself, tremendous anxiety, right? And on the other hand, it's a tremendous happiness. You're being cleansed. Well, we talked about Yom Kippur. We have the wrong impression. We're afflicting ourselves. The truth is, we don't eat and we don't drink, but it's not like we think it is. We don't eat and we don't drink, not as an affliction, because we don't need to. It's called Shabbos Shabboson. You know, Shabbos means a rest. Any Shabbos, what do? You rest from melacha. It's a very interesting word. You rest from it. Right? You rest from any work process. So what's that Shabbos? This is Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shabboson. What's the Shabboson on Yom Kippur? That is not only a rest from work, but a rest from eating and drinking. You don't, it's not affliction. It's a rest from it. You don't need it today. You don't need it. You're concentrating on the main thing. That's the idea. This is a day, if Rosh Hashanah, you know, Avinu Malkeinu, we've been saying, guys, if Rosh Hashanah was Malkeinu, Yom Kippur is Avinu. If Rosh Hashanah was fear and awe of the Melech, of the King, Yom Kippur is pure love from our Father in Heaven who wants to clean us. Avinu. That's Yom Kippur. We don't need to eat. We don't need to drink. We just need to be in shul and absorb and dive in. Yom Kippur is a mikvah. We don't eat and we don't drink on Yom Kippur and we refrain from other physical enjoyments. Because this day not only is a microcosm of the ultimate day of judgment of facing ourselves, it's a microcosm of what the life of a Jew is all, supposed to be all about. That's what Yom Kippur is. The Indian of Yom Kippur is to know what the truth is. That's the idea. What's the ikker? What's the main thing? Right? And what's the tuffle? What's the, you know, minor thing? The main thing in a Jew's life is davening, is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the pleasures of this world, which we're refraining from, those are secondary. I know that's hard for us to lock into. That's why we leave it alone, Yom Kippur. We don't eat, and we don't drink, we don't do all these things. We don't have the pleasures of this world. We don't have any enjoyments of this world, because on Yom Kippur, we have to focus again and realize that the main thing that we're here for is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, we gave the example, the parable, right? About the guy who wins the lottery. Right, he comes home, finds his kid broke the table. So normally, you know, it would bother him. But today, it's not going to bother him. Why? Because he just won $20 million in the lottery. He's got the main thing. He's not going to worry about a $100 table. That's us. That's the Indian of Yom Kippur. To know what the truth is. To know what the main point of life is. And to leave over the secondary things, the pleasures and the pursuits of things in this world. And also the tzoras, not to let it throw us. We won the lottery. Yom Kippur is a day that we got the Torah. And we always mention it. It's no coincidence. We always mention how they go hand in hand. What's the connection? Whenever you do tshuva, you have to have a recommitment to Torah. Yom Kippur is a day of forgiveness. It's the day that our Father is cleaning us up. It's the day we get the Torah again. The second tablets came on Yom Kippur. It's a recommitment to Torah again. It's the day we win the lotto. We won the lotto. We get the Torah again. We're cleansed. Nothing else should bother us. This is what we're supposed to take throughout the year. Every day. That's the way it's supposed to feel. Yeah? You got the Torah. You got mitzvahs. You got the Torah. You got the millions. This is very important. You know, things happen to us every day. We get insulted, right? People do things to us. We don't have such good enjoyment some days, right? Doesn't bother us. That's the broken table. Something goes wrong here, something goes wrong there. Some people are nice to us. It doesn't matter. These are all kleinigkeiten. These are minor things. You got to focus on what the main point of life. That's Yom Kippur. That's the truth. That's the emes. And we refrain. Go away. Distance yourself from food, drink, the pleasures of this world. That's not why we're here. In fact, they're distractions. On Yom Kippur, it's not a... That's the vort. That's the vort. On Yom Kippur, it's not a vort that you can't eat or drink. You don't need to. You don't need to be distracted by those things. All right. That's what we have to work on. When we're in shul for those 26 hours, there's going to be plenty of time to think. We have to think of what the principles of life are all about. What we're supposed to be doing. And if we have problems, if we have sorrows, okay, we already said we admit it, our sins cause it, right? But even with the sorrows, we got the lotto again. We got Torah, we got davening, we have mitzvahs, we have the main thing. No matter anything else that happens to us, that's the minor thing. We don't have to worry about it. Okay? All right. By the way, this is all very clearly spelled out in Pirkei Avos. Ha'olam haza prozdor lifnei olam haba. This world's like a antechamber before the next world. On Yom Kippur, mamash, you're entering the next world. You're getting a glimpse of the next world. No physicality, pure spiritual delights. Serving Hashem, learning, davening, that's it. I know this is a little hard for us to relate to here in the, as we call it, the Golden Medina. You know, America has been so good to us, and we get so much involved in the slogan of America, which is basically, you know, enjoy the good life. Grab the gusto. That's what America's all about. Right? So everything is supposed to be better and finer and more is better and all that thing and nicer is better. And Yiddishkeit teaches you just the opposite. Yiddishkeit teaches you that, as a matter of fact, it says, I think it's a Mishnah that says, here's, Kahu Darcha Shel Torah. You know what the way of Torah is? Pas, b'melech, teichal. Eat a little bread with salt. Umayim, b'mishura, and water by measure. Tishta, fala arts, tishon, sleep on the ground. V'chayetzar, tichya. And a life of sorrow you should live. U'b'torah atamel. And if you're involved in Torah, it's very good for you. You'll be very good. So everybody misunderstands this Mishnah. You know, they hear this Mishnah and they think, you know what it means? It means that you gotta mamish deprive yourself. You can't have just a little water and salt and just, bread, a little bread, sleep on the floor. You have to mamish have a life of a miserable life in this world. Ah, but you get the next world. You're learning Torah, you get the next world. That's not the vort. I'll tell you what the vort is when I flip over the tape. The vort is you can have a nice life in this world. That's fine. But again, everything we've been talking about, the vort is that you should be willing to do all this. That doesn't matter to you if you had to have just a little bit of bread and salt, a little bit of water, and sleep on the ground for the sake of learning Torah. Because that's the main thing. Right? That's the lotto. That's the idea. You hear? In other words, the ikkar is the main thing is not olam hazeh. The main thing is spirituality, is ruchnius. That's why we are. And the pleasures of this world are irrelevant. They're nice. Yeah, okay, if you have them, good. But if you don't have them, you don't let it bother you. You don't let it bother the main thing. And we do just the opposite. If we don't have a nice in this world, I can't learn. I can't do mitzvahs. I'm so, that's not the vort. We got it backwards, you understand? If you have good things in this world, very nice. But you should know that's not your simcha either. Your simcha is in Torah and mitzvahs. This is what Yom Kippur symbolizes. That we have, it's interesting, Rambam uses the word, we have a shvita, a resting. Yeah, we said this. Of a resting from eating and sleeping. So you concentrate on the main thing. Chovas Lavavas, duties of heart, says there's two things that don't go together. What are they? They're a complete contradiction to each other. Gashmis and Ruchnis. Physical, materialistic pleasures, and spiritual. And spirituality. You can't have them both. Okay? And again, that's also misdirected. It doesn't mean you can't have them both. It means what? A person can't want Gashmias and have Ruchnias in his life. That's what it means. You understand what I'm saying? If you want Gashmias, if you want materialism, you won't have spirituality. Right? And if you want spirituality, okay, then it doesn't matter. That's the idea. It's not, you can have it, but you use it as a means of the, as an end, a means to an end, right? Alright. Okay. Some other ideas of Yom Kippur. First of all, it's an interesting halacha. Everybody. So men have to, there's never a mitzvah for a man to go to the mikvah, right? Except on Erev Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah. It's very interesting. It symbolizes what the whole day is about. Physically you go on the mikvah. But really, the truth is, you enter Yom Kippur, the whole day is a mikvah. You're being cleansed. Okay? That's one idea. The other idea is, the idea of a cleansing, a purification, is you feel that you're dirty. You feel shame. You feel shame? You're dirty. You sullied yourself. Right? Another very important component of a tshuva. You gotta feel that, you gotta feel shame. Now I know they don't like that word out there. But the truth is, in the word tshuva is the word busha, says Rambam. Shame. It's a prerequisite. Busha, you have to show shame. As a matter of fact, I'll read you some very stark lashonis here. Listen to this. Hold on a second. Let me find it out. Here it is. This is from Chai Adam. He says, person should cry. Person should cry and confess that he angered his master, Hashem. And that he blemished the neshama. Hear this? He blemished the neshama that Hashem gave to him. So Asher Nasan Hashem lo lativo bachriso. Blemished the neshama that Hashem gave him that he wanted to reward him with in the afterworld. Hashem gave us this pure, pristine neshama so we can get a tremendous reward in the next world spirituality, and we take it and we blemished it. Ve'yisbayesh. Ve'yomer alibo. A person should be ashamed. He should show shame and say in his heart, Ma'asisi. What did I do? Lo zacharti, I didn't remember the gamani kol hatayva. I didn't remember all the goodness that Hashem bestowed upon me. Right? Shilanti ra tachas tayva. And I paid back evil for the good that He gave to me. Oili, oili. Woe to me, woe to me. Hashem sustains us and gives us everything. And how do we pay Him back? All right. We got to think about these things. You know why I wear a kittel? You know, married man wears a kittel usually. It's customary kittel Yom Kippur. You know why? Talked about this day being a microcosm of the ultimate day of judgment. Listen to this language. Listen to this. This is from Sefer HaTodah, a kittel. You know what the kittel looks like? Big day macy. Looks like the clothes of the dead, tachrichi. Looks like shrouds. Yeah? Why? Simu alav. Should put it on his heart, should emphasize on his heart, that these clothes, these clothes that we're wearing right now, that we're going to take these clothes that we're wearing now, shrouds, and we're going to go to the next world to give a reckoning for everything we did. Before Hashem. Yeah, imken, therefore, nidme b'daisal ki'ilu anu oindim b'begadim eilu fekisai kavla. Therefore, right now, we should envision ourselves that this is like a facsimile, that we're standing in these shrouds before the throne of glory of Hashem. That's what we're doing in Yom Kippur, wearing this kittel. We should envision ourselves right now, like we're dead, in tachrichin, before Hashem's throne of glory, l'ten din b'cheshbon, to give a reckoning. V'nischaret charata gemura. And we should have a tremendous regret. Yeah. Shebishas sha'indit ve'kisa kaivad mitcharitim ve'emet. Mitcharitim ve'emet. When we're going to stand before the throne of glory after 120 years, we're going to have true regret. We're going to have real regret. Eile she'ein charata mu'ila charei misa. Regret after you die means diddly squat. It's not going to help. It's not going to help to regret then. It's too late. Aval achshav. Now, harehi mo'ila. Regret works. Regret's a basic component of tshuva. Shame. Admitting, I'm wrong. It's my fault. Wear the kittel. Imagine. Shrouds. 120 years. I'm going to be up there. Regret ain't going to help. Saying it's my fault ain't going to help. Acknowledge Hashem's judgment in the world on yourself and your source ain't going to help then. It's too late. But now I'm wearing the kittel. Now I'm before Hashem. Now I can truly regret. Now I can show shame. Now I can admit I'm wrong. Justify Hashem's judgment towards me. And it works. This is what the kittel is supposed to do. It's interesting. It's the greatest gift that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us. Tshuva. It's interesting. If you think about it, it means absolutely nothing on an earthly court. You go before a judge, you know, and you did something wrong, and you say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it. It ain't going to help. Tshuva means nothing on an earthly court, and it's the only thing that counts in the heavenly court. Tshuva. It's a metamorphosis. You can change your past. It didn't happen. Mamash didn't happen. You do true tshuva, it did not happen. You go beyond time. It changes your past, and avada, it changes your future. You know, in less than 48 hours, we're going to be in shul listening to Kol Nidre. 48 hours. I don't know about you, but I'm scared that I'm not scared. So remember the story of the Ger Rebbe? A guy came to him. There's a Baal Tshuva yeshiva called Or Sameach. So the Ger Rebbe asked him, "What do you learn?" He says, "I learned Or Sameach, but I'm not a Baal Tshuva." And the Rebbe said, "Favosnit, why not? We should all be Baal Tshuvas. That's what I feel." So Rav came back from South Africa once, and he called up his house, and he said, "Something's wrong with me." They got worried. "What's wrong?" "Everybody's doing tshuva here in South Africa, and I'm not doing any tshuva. Something must be wrong with me." I don't know about you. That's the way I feel. It's 48 hours away. And I'm not holding by it. I'm not holding by Yom Kippur yet. Friday is Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, it's a mitzvah to eat all day long. Yeah, it's a mitzvah to eat all day long. In fact, the Gemara says that one who eats on the 9th of Tishrei, thank you, the 9th of Tishrei, the day before Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts it as if he fasted on the 9th and the 10th. Rav Emanuel Feldman just came to town. This is from him. He says, "Why is the Suda, the meal that you eat, Erev Yom Kippur, even greater than the fast of Yom Kippur?" Listen to this well. It's always harder to serve Hashem on a full stomach than when fasting. You understand what that means? It's harder to serve Hashem when everything's going well on a full stomach. Everything's gone so fine in America than when you're beset in South Africa with Soros. No atheists in a foxhole. We talked about winning this lotto. We win the lotto. Yeah, we got the Torah. Yom Kippur, we get the Torah. We pashut forget we have the Torah. We pashut forget we're Yidden. We don't realize, we forget what we have and everything. It's a parable. They say there's a, you want to hear, this is a great story. It's a great parable. It's a farmer. Yeah, a farmer, never been on a train before. So, he is given a first class ticket. One of his friends gives him a first class ticket on the train. Okay. Goes to the railroad station. Right? Never been on a train before. He sees two hobos, right? Two bums jump on the back car. Figures that's the way it's done. Right? Doesn't know. So he does the same thing. Jumps in the back. Yeah, jumps on the back car of the hobos. So, you know, they're sitting there and all of a sudden the conductor starts coming by and checks for tickets. Right? So what do the hobos do? They hide in the filthy, like, manure in the cart there behind the manure and boxes and everything. So he does the same thing. He figures that's the way it's done. Right? Conductor catches them all. Right? Throws the hobos off. And then he's about to throw this guy off and the guy goes, "Hey, you know, I got a ticket. What are you doing?" So the conductor looks at him and goes, "Fool. You had a first class ticket? You had a first class ticket the whole time and you were sitting back here riding with the manure? With these hobos in this filthy cattle car? Like a peasant?" We're that farmer. We're the farmer. We, the Jewish people, have a first class ticket. It's called the Torah. Mitzvahs. Serving God. but we don't know how to use it. We don't know how to use and appreciate our Yiddishkeit. So what do? We look at what the nations of the world, what the goyim are doing. Yeah? We look and see what their fads are, what's in vogue, what's in style, what's their culture, what's their value system, what they consider politically correct, which is always spiritually wrong, right? And we mimic them in their dress, in their sports, we laugh at their jokes. It's going to come a time. There's going to come a time. Could be a day of the Mashiach, could be a day of judgment, it could be even a Yom Kippur. Where we're going to get caught. We're going to get caught for sneaking on the back car with the manure and the filth and the hobos of the world. Doing things illegally against the Torah, imitating the goyim of the world. And when we get caught, you know what's going to happen? We're going to realize we had a first class ticket. We had a first class ticket this whole time. We're a Yidden. We could have been riding a first class fancy coach with all the comforts, enjoying this life better. Be more tranquil inside in this world. At the same time, preparing for an eternity of bliss. And they're going to look at us. The goyim will look at us and say, fools, you were mimicking us, the beggars, the peasants of the world, when you had a first class ticket all this time? Something to think about. Yom Kippur. New start. Bria Chadasha. Like a newborn babe. So a person's supposed to think about when he's in the mikvah, by the way. The water surrounding the entire earth, like in a mother's womb, completely surrounded. A new start. A new commitment to Torah. Get our priorities in check. 48 hours away. Time to get our game faces on. You know what I mean? As a matter of fact, they say on Yom Kippur, our portion of Torah is decided for the year. Or Gedaliah brings us down. Our ruchnias, our whole spirituality is decided for the year. Hand in hand, how much tshuva we do, how much we want to commit, how much we realize what's the essence of life, why we're here. Know something else. We say you have to have shame, we're saying you have to say it's my fault and rectify it. But there's a very fine line between that and letting our sins drag us down and feeling it's impossible. There's no room for that. Let me quote to you from Yechezkel. Sefer HaTorah brings it down. Hatshuva mekaperes al kol averes. Tshuva cleanses you from all sins. Afilu pasha kol yamav. Even if a person sinned all his days, he does tshuva at the end. Ein maskirin lo shum davar mirshal. They're never going to mention one thing of the evil things you did. They're gone. They're erased. As it says, V'rishas harasha lo yichshal ba b'yom shuvu mirasho. The acts of wickedness will not be mentioned when he returns from his wickedness. It's the greatest gift we got. What a tag team. You get in the Torah, and you got tshuva. It's the happiest day of the year. But, like any time you have a great opportunity, bases loaded, you know, you ain't got a base hit, knocking three, what? You're a little nervous. It's a little anxiety. So much is at stake. You want to milk it for all it's worth. You want to get everything out of it. So, Gilu Birada, says Dovid HaMelech. Tremble, rejoice in trembling. Avinu Malkeinu, Ava Nira. We got to do tshuva, but we got to be in simcha and have bitachon that Hashem will forgive us. All right, I'm going to finish with this. This is the finale. This is it. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something because all of us have always thought this. I don't think I'm the only one. Yom Kippur was the most awful day in the year for me. I admit it. I admit it. I hated it. I hated it as a kid. And deep inside, I don't think I was too thrilled about it as an adult. Now, it's true everything we're saying. Gotta be happy. Ich bin a Yid. But, between you and I, guys, ich bin a coffee drinker. And when I go a day without coffee, I get wonderful headaches. Lovely ones. And Yom Kippur is so long. And praying is not my forte. I mean, I have a hard time on a regular yontif with the extra davening. I'm telling you the truth. Being in shul all day long davening is tough on me. I hate to say it, it used to be a pain. It was long, I get very hungry, I get a headache, I get tired. I didn't enjoy it. Not anymore. As I've gotten older, I've realized Yom Kippur is the most wonderful day of the year. It's a day I can escape. I can escape this world. Again, it's not a day that I can't eat. It's a day I don't have to eat. It's a day, not that I can't shower. It's a day I don't have to shower. I don't have to eat. I don't have to shower. I don't have to worry about the narishkeiting of the world. It's a day I can be free. I don't have to worry about food. I don't have to worry about what I look like. I'm in a kittel, like everybody else. I don't have any phones. I don't have any distractions. I can just sit. You can just sit in shul. Wrapped in your talus or whatever, and just soar. Get in touch. Get in touch with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what it is. That's what Yom Kippur is. Get in touch with God again! Is He a real part of your lives? Is He a real entity in your lives? Do you have a relationship with Him? Get in touch. Get spiritual. I can finally wake up from my slumber of the whole year and all the distractions and get my priorities straight. That's what Yom Kippur is. It's a day to get priorities. It's a day to get in touch. It's a day you don't have to worry about physicality, materialism. It's a day that's just you and God. The final prayer in Yom Kippur is Ne'ilah. It says in Ne'ilah, Ata noisen yod lepoishim, Hashem, you extend your hand to sinners. Ve'yemincha peshuta lekabel shavim, you extend your hand to accept people that repent. Hashem's extending us His hand. Let's do ourselves a favor and grab hold of it. He's there. He's waiting. He's extending His hand. Gemarach Simchatov.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.